Manasa balakilyo Dumbara finapavane Yase kuti chakapurvan Bhavodo hamsa niskriyo The four divisions of retired life are the Vaikanashas, Valakilyas, Oldumbadas, and Painabas. The four divisions of the renounced order of life are Kutichak, Bhavodas, Hamsas, and Nishkriyas. All these were manifested from Brahma. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Varnashram Dharma, or the institution of the four divisions and orders of social and spiritual life, is not a new invention of the modern age. As proposed by the less intelligent. It is an institution established by Brahma from the very beginning of the creation. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the fourth chapter, Chaturvanya Mayastristam. The purpose of this material existence is very important to understand. Living within a world without understanding the purpose in which it was created is avidya, ignorance. We do not find in the institutions of modern education any hint of the real purpose of life. In fact, they generally either teach directly or indirectly just the opposite of the real purpose of life. The purpose of the creation of material existence by the Lord is to frustrate a person of the desire for material enjoyment. This is not our opinion. This is the very basis of all the Vedic literatures. Sense gratification is the cause of all bondage and suffering. Yehi samsparashaja bhoga dukha jonaya evate atyantavanta konteya nate suramate buddha. This is Krishna's word in Gita, that the non-permanent experiences of pleasure that is derived between the senses and their object are actually the cause of pain. If we want to give up suffering, we have to give up trying to enjoy material life. As long as we try to enjoy material life, we have to suffer. The world was created in that way. Unless you are more powerful than Brahma, and a lot more powerful than God Himself, you will not be the exception. The world is dukalayam shashvatam. It is certified by Krishna. It's a temporary place. And when the eternal soul, longing for eternal pleasure, tries to find pleasure in the temporary manifestations of material existence, it creates misery. So modern education teaches all subject matter with the aim that if you learn this and get your degree, you will have a better form of sense gratification. The purpose of life is to enjoy. Nobody's really enjoying, but the purpose of life is to somehow or other get as much enjoyment extracted from this body and senses as possible. And this is how they teach the basis of all subjects in material education. Therefore, Thakur Bhaktivinod has said, I have gone to these schools for years and years and years and years, and what have I got out of it? I have become a foolish, dumb ass. That's all. What is the position of an ass? He carries a huge burden. But what is that burden? He's thinking that if I carry this burden, I will get some grass. But actually, there's grass on the side of the road. He can just eat it. So similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, all this knowledge is just like a big burden in my life. And I've been struggling and striving to accumulate more burden on my life. The more you know, the more you think you can enjoy, the more egoistic you become, and the burden gets higher and higher and higher mounted upon you. The basis of the desire for material enjoyment is ahankar, false ego. We all think we are something very wonderful, but we do not even know who or what we are. And this false ego wants to enjoy more and more and more. And the more you get, the bigger your ego becomes, so the more you need. And when egos clash, it creates conflict within the family, conflict within the society, conflict within the nation, conflict between nations. What is wars? It is simply the clash of ego. We may have so many political, theological excuses of why we are fighting with each other, but essentially it really has very little to do with politics or theological differences or ideologies. It is simply clashing a false ego. I am this body, this is mine. And I want what you have, and you cannot have what I have. I am great and you are small. I am Prabhu, you are Das. This is the cause of all conflict between men in this world. So thus, sense gratification is the process that undermines the purpose of life. The purpose of life is self-realization. To awaken the sublime consciousness of our original relationship with God. That we are not this body, but we are the eternal soul. And the soul is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. The soul is beyond birth and death. The soul is transcendent. The soul has a natural knowledge of Krishna, the all-attractive personality of Godhead. Within the recess of the soul's own heart is pure, unadulterated love for Krishna. And in that love is the supreme joy. And that is what the soul is longing for. But we are trying to pacify that longing by connecting our attachments to the very things that are the cause of our miseries. So this is the purpose of creation. We have come here because we want to enjoy apart from Krishna. Trying to enjoy apart from Krishna is the source of all bondage. And trying to give Krishna enjoyment, watering the root of the tree, through a mood of service and devotion, is the source of all bliss. So Brahma has created this world for this purpose, not on his own, but as an instrument of Lord Krishna. In this chapter, it so wonderfully describes how Lord Brahma, the original personality of this universe, the father of every living being within this universe on a physical platform, he is completely bewildered what he's supposed to do. When he's born, He doesn't know where to go, what to do. He's going up and down this stem of the lotus trying to find, where am I coming from? What am I supposed to do? And who am I? But by the direction of the Lord, he meditates on Krishna, and Krishna reveals everything. And then he creates the whole universe during his day. His day is, what, 4 billion, 300 million years, something like that, is his day of Brahma. And then he goes to sleep. And then he wakes up and everything's finished. There's nothing. He has to recreate all over again, but he forgets how. Not only does he forget how, but he doesn't know how it's possible to do it. So again he prays to Krishna, save me, please. I want to serve you, but I have no power to serve you. Then Krishna again empowers him, and everything is created. This goes on 365 days a year for 100 years. Every morning Brahma wakes up and has to recreate. So, it is being described here how, in the process of creation, the means by which we can perfect our life is created by Brahma. In this particular verse, it describes how the various orders of renunciation, the vanaprastha orders and sannyas orders, are created by Lord Brahma. What is the meaning of real detachment? Real detachment is to understand everything's relationship with God. We were speaking about the foolish ass who has their big, big PhDs, which is just a big, big burden on their back. But at the same time, if we learn for the purpose of using it in God's service, in a pious and pure life, then that education is not a burden. It is an asset. It is a decoration, an ornament on our devotional service. Accumulating a lot of money just incriminates you in so much greed. But if you accumulate money to use in God's service and use it in God's service, then that is an ornament in your spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada very much argued with atheistic scientists, but then he was very enthusiastic that his disciples who had the inclination that they get PhDs in science to utilize their education to prove the supreme nature of God as the creator of everything that exists. So this is Yukta Vairagya. That everything in this world, when it is used in the proper consciousness, the consciousness of humility and devotion, then it has great spiritual value. However, if it is used without that understanding that we are the eternal servants of the Lord, then it is simply a burden. So the purpose of life is to dedicate this small amount of time that we have to the service of the Supreme Personality of God. And here Lord Brahma is creating the Varnashram system. Brahmachari, or student, dedicates his studies to learning various academic subjects in the spirit of service to the Lord. To learn morality, purity, to learn devotion. To you learn various trades according to our propensities. It's the foundation of our life, spiritual training. Today people don't like spiritual training, only occupational training. Occupational training without a spiritual foundation defeats the very purpose of life. We are coming from the wealthy countries of Europe and America. India is madly chasing after this culture. I never met a happy person in my life. Never. Even the persons who have the biggest smiles, if they're honest, they'll say it's all a show. The happiest people are the simplest people, not the most complex people. So there's this mad misconception that by occupational education and training, I will get good economic strength and I will be happy. Hare Krishna. Japan was leading the world. But if you have seen the news lately, you will find that they are quite a miserable society. Srila Prabhupada explained like this. You build big skyscraper, then you fall from the top. That's all. That's modern civilization. Working so hard to have the biggest of all skyscrapers. My company's the biggest, my nation's the biggest, my family's the biggest. No one can build a skyscraper like mine. It is so high. The higher it is, the harder it hurts when you fall from it. It's a fact. You go to one of the little villages of India, little straw hut, fall from the roof. Just go wipe the dust off and go on with your life. Where you go to Empire State Building, and how many thousands of people jumped from that building? It was the most famous building because it was the tallest building. How many have heard of Empire State Building? It's just a building in Manhattan Island of New York. It was the tallest building in the world. Therefore, it was the most attractive building to jump from the top of. If you jump from the top of that building, there's no chance of surviving. Another building, there's more chance. So if you go there now, they have nets all around it. And just below the top floor, the terrace. Because so many people have fallen and just ended up like a puddle of human chemicals that they put nets all around it and they go far away, so no matter how far out you, unless you're an Olympic jumper, you can't get across those nets. Why? It's practically insanity to think they have to build nets around this building. Because it's so tall. So similarly, the bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger you become in material life, the harder you fall. And you're going to fall. It is inevitable. So Prabhupada used this example. This is modern civilization. Building big skyscrapers and then falling from the top. So economic development, does that bring happiness? The country of Japan, they were taking over the planet. In fact, they own the Empire State Building. It's the symbol of America owned by the Japanese companies. Hare Krishna. America defeated them in World War II, and now they are defeating us in economics. Most of the prime property in the cities of America are owned by Japan because they just have so much money. They are so clever in making money and they train their young people so efficiently to make money. And they're so attached to the power, to the prestige. And then it's like a landslide of economic falling. And now, miserable situation. Everything is so uncertain. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala, like a drop of water on the lotus, that's what all these things are. In the 1920s, there was a great depression in America. The whole stock market just one day, and millionaires were beggars in the street. I know, my father lived in that time, he used to tell me. That they would, he and his father, they were actually doing well. And then one day, they were out in the street just trying to sell a few potatoes, door to door. But nobody had money to buy a potato. Alu. No one. Even in America, they couldn't afford one alu. People were starving. Why? Nobody even knows how it happens, why it happens. It's beyond everyone's control, but it happens. And now there's worry that this will happen again. So therefore, we should understand very clearly that when our occupation, because we all need an occupation, when it is based on a spiritual principle, then we perform our occupation for the real purpose of life. Rather than defeating this rare human existence, we fulfill the rare human existence. So brahmachari is meant for that. Most brahmacharis become grihasthas. Rare souls remain brahmacharis. But those brahmacharis that become grihasthas, they become first-class grihasthas if they're trained properly. They're honest, they're moral, they're pure, they have real devotion and intense devotion. And they perform their work for the real welfare of their family, the society, and the world. Why? Because they understand what welfare is all about. It's not to decorate a dying body. It's to ornament the eternal soul with bhakti. That is the purpose. Grihamedi means I am enjoyer. Grihastha means I am servant. But not service of my senses. Not service of the senses of my family members. Servants of God. And utilizing and directing everyone in the service of God. That is grihastha. Thus, you can be a farmer, you can be a businessman, you can be a politician, you can be a military man, an architect, an engineer, a housewife, anything. All these occupations are within the Varnashram system. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. You can be a teacher. You could be an administrator. You can be an agricultural businessman. Or you can be a laborer. They are all wonderful. Perfect. When we perform our occupation in a spirit of devotion. Under the direction of Krishna. And then, when the family grows up, and we have fulfilled our purposes, then Lord Brahma, under the direction of Krishna, created vanaprastha life and sannyas life. Vanaprastha is when husband and wife together, they renounce all material responsibilities because they have fulfilled them. The children have taken over. And now we completely concentrate our energy during the dawn of our life, or the dusk of our life, I'm sorry, on the real purpose. Fixing our consciousness on Krishna. And sannyas life is for those who simply make their life's ambition to help others become Krishna conscious. The whole world is the family, and every living being we are trying to serve by giving them Krishna with no other attachments. So devotion is the purpose of life. And what devotion is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Because devotion cannot awaken from within our soul without the mercy of Krishna. Thus it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Atapumbir Vijastresas Varanashrama Vibhagasha Shwanustatasya Dharamasya Samsadir Hari Toshanam. The purpose of all the four varnas and all the four ashrams is simply to please Krishna. If you please Krishna, then he will awaken that devotion in your heart, and that is the goal of life. If you do not please Krishna, whatever extraneous endeavors you may make for success, you will never achieve the real treasure that we are all longing for. Krishna tells Arjuna, Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyashtu shmitatvataha, that only a devotee who is sincerely and honestly serving me, only he can understand the truth of who I am. Bhaktoshime shakacheti rahasyam yetadutamam. Krishna tells Arjuna, because you are my devotee, because you are not envious, you can understand this message. Others read Bhagavad Gita, but if they are not sincere, humble servants of the Lord, and are not envious of others, they can read Gita, they can preach Gita, they can make millions of disciples on Gita, but they cannot understand one word of Gita in truth. Krishna will not allow them. Naham prakasha saravasya yogamaya samagrata. They are like mudhas. Krishna covers with the curtain of maya. So therefore, we should understand that Brahma has created the whole varnashram system in a spirit to create a congenial, harmonious society by which people can devote their lives to the service of God. And how merciful Krishna is to his devotees. How merciful Krishna is to everyone. Let us take an example of Jagai and Madhai. They were the worst demons. They were the incarnations of Jai and Vijay the fourth time around. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Kumbhakarna Ravana, Dantavakra Shishupal. They came again as Jagai and Madhai. They were murderers. They were thieves. They were burning people's houses down. They were raping innocent women. They were beating people. They were eating the flesh and blood of animals. They were always, day and night, taking intoxication, drunk. But yet, somehow or other, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, they promised to never do these things again. They took to the chanting of Harinam, and they became pure, unalloyed Vaishnavas. They become Paramahamsas, the greatest saints. That is the power of the mercy of the Lord. We have in Krishna's Leela, Nagakalia. He was such an envious demon. Just by his breathing, he could kill all the plants, trees, animals, even the birds that were flying overhead. This is how envious this personality was. How many people do you know? Even the greatest, most cruel dictators of the world, how many could kill just by breathing? They are insignificant compared to Kaliya. And he came to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. Not only to kill Krishna, to kill everybody. In fact, he did!
the cowherd boys and the calves, the cows, they drank the water from his lake and they all died. It's the death. He was successful. He put this poison in the lake and he wanted to murder everyone. The lake looked like nice water. It didn't look black. It looked very clear. But the most deadly poison was within it. We have to be very careful what we want to enjoy in this world. Sometimes it looks very nice, very nutritious, but it is poison. God kills the inclination for spirituality.
So the cowherd boys, gopas, and cows, they drank the water and they died. Krishna cast his glance on them and they all woke up from their death. This is the power of God. Then Krishna jumped in the water from a famous Kadamba tree, which we will see in Vrindavan, still there. And Kaliya came out to kill Krishna. He had all these terrible hoods. Fire was coming out of his mouth and he started biting Krishna. Hare Krishna. And Krishna jumped on his head and started dancing and dancing and dancing until his skulls were so, all of his hundreds of skulls were so beaten down by the soft little tiny lotus feet of Krishna. The Braja gopis were thinking that the softest part of our body might give pain to Krishna's feet because his feet are so soft. They used to cry thinking of Krishna's feet touching the little tiny pebbles of Vrindavan. It may cause him pain. But for those feet, which were lotus feet that were so soft and so pleasing to the devotees, were like thunderbolts to Kaliya. As he was dancing, the devotees were enjoying like anything, watching him dance. Kaliya tried to kill him. He wrapped around him. Then Krishna got out and started dancing. So graceful was this dance. From one head to another. And the heads were not still. They were going... They were trying to bite. They were trying to destroy. And Krishna was just dancing. So nice. And everyone was enjoying the dance except Kaliya. A good dancer, when people look, they see his feet are so light. He just, like floating. He looked like he was floating on the head of Kaliya. But what appeared to others to be floating, every time that floating, soft little lotus foot touched Kaliya's head, it was millions of times more powerful than Indra's thunderbolt. Kaliya was delirious. His wives, Nagapatnis, they prayed, "He's finished. All his ego is crushed by your mercy. You are so kind, my lord, that the same lotus feet that the sages, the rishis, even Brahma and Shiva cannot achieve, they're dancing on the head of our husband. Please forgive him." So Kaliya surrendered. And after Kaliya surrendered, Krishna accepted him as his devotee. In fact, sometimes Krishna has Kaliya as his vahana instead of Garuda. If he engages Garuda in another service, he calls Kaliya. And Krishna rides on Kaliya. Such an intimate service to a demon who surrendered. And we have example of Rakshashi Putana. What kind of a terrible person was this? On the order of Kamsa, Putana was coming to kill all children, babies. Thousands and thousands of babies. She would kidnap them. She would drink their blood. She would eat all the flesh in their body. And then she'd go looking for another one. She was unsatiated in her desire for flesh and blood. And she killed so many in this way. She went to Vrindavan to eat Krishna. First to poison him, then to eat him. However, by giving his breast to her breast to him, he sucked it and he killed her. She could not get him out. He just sucked and sucked and sucked her very life. And Putana was given the position of Krishna's own nurse in Vaikuntha. The assistant of Mother Yashoda, who eternally loves him with parental affection in the spiritual world. Because he saw she came as a mother, so let her be my mother eternally. First let me take away the poison. That was a painful experience, but after the poison was left, her motherly affection remained. He purified it. And Putana had two brothers. One was Bakasura, and the other was Agasura. Agasura was such a big demon that he appeared as a huge 8-mile snake to kill all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. First he swallowed all the gopas, then he swallowed Krishna and closed his mouth. But Krishna grew inside so big that the demon could not breathe, and his soul came out from his body. Then that soul entered into, when Krishna came out of the mouth, the soul entered into Krishna's body. As Srimad Bhagavatam describes what happened to that soul. First he entered into the Brahmajyoti, but then because he died with Krishna in his body, he became perfectly liberated and attained the same form as Krishna himself in Vaikuntha, as an eternal associate of Vaikuntha Loka. The perfection of life. He achieved pure love of God in the personal system of bhakti. Why? Not only was he thinking of Krishna, but Krishna was inside. He purified him completely. So what to speak of devotees who are honestly, sincerely, and genuinely trying to serve the Lord? How merciful will the Lord be to them? What kind of bhakti he can give? So that is the purpose of life. And that is what Brahma created the entire universe for. He's a Mahajan. He's a compassionate being on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has created this whole scientific system in such a way that people can share Krishna consciousness together and actually achieve the ultimate purpose of life. And there are so many warnings within the great scriptures. Because at every step, there is a reason to divert one's attention away from the purpose of life. So we must be very careful. We must be very attentive. In every varna and every ashram, there are various dangers. And we must understand from the scriptures and from the great sadhus and spiritual masters what those dangers are. If we do not know, we will fall victim. It is inevitable. Therefore, there must be good training for brahmacharis, good trainings for vanaprastas, good trainings for grihastas, for vanaprastas and sannyasis. There must be proper training for brahmin, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. And what is the best training? Not just how to do it, but how to do it in such a way that you achieve the goal of life. In this age of Kali, the basic foundation of all our spirituality, no matter what position we may be in our society, is the taking shelter of the association of devotees and the chanting of the holy names. Therefore, Bhakti Vinod Thakur has sung, Grihe Thako Vane Thako Sada Hari Bole Thako Suke Duke Bulo Nako Parane Hari Nam Koro Re Gai Gaura Madhu Sware Gai Gaura Madhu Sware Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Grihe Thako Vane Thako Sada Hari Bole Thako Grihe Thako Vane Thako Sada Hari Bole Thako Suke duke bulo nako varane hari nam borore Gai gaura madhu sware Gai gaura madhu sware Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this principle. Whether you are a grihastha with family, wife, children, husband, occupational duty, or whether you are a sannyasi living in the forest, doesn't matter. What matters? Take the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because by chanting the holy name sincerely, you will be delivered from all the superficial, artificial happinesses and distresses of this world. Whether you are in a happy state or whether you are in a miserable state, it doesn't matter. What matters that we take shelter of the chanting of the holy names.
Ah!
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kali Gaura Madhusare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gai Gaura Madhusare. Gai Gaura Madhusare. Srila Prabhupada ki. Generally, trumpet players are in Maya. Usually this trumpet was designed for glorifying material sense enjoyment. However, Ekalavya Prabhu is showing what is Yukta Vairagya. The least likely thing to be used in Krishna's service. But by his playing of the trumpet, devotees dance in great bliss, chanting the holy names of Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So we will meet again at 12:30 for art. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.